Liz Martin with Miami Ghost Chronicles, and I am here in Spring Hill Cemetery, which is a little bit north of the Tampa area. And the reason that I am walking in there is because Hurricane Irma just came through here. And, you know, this road is a little bit like soggy or sandy. And I brought my car, didn't bring a truck or an SUV. And truth be told, I don't know just what kind of condition this road would be in. And the last thing I would want is to get my car stuck. You know, I came here to the Tampa area for business, and I've seen a lot of people stop out here in the Spring Hill Cemetery. So I said, you know what? Let me go off with at least a camera and see if I can take a look at the cemetery real quick. And as you can tell, yeah, this is down a road. I left my car parked back there with Henry, the videographer, standing guard. And yeah. Tell it's just a narrow road that leads back here. And if memory serves me correctly, I believe this is an African American cemetery, even though it's not strictly. There's other burials, but I believe that some of the burials that are there go back like into the 1900s. So let's see. Nice walk. And I'm assuming that because it's a weekday in the middle of the day, that there's not going to be anybody out here. Which is usually the best way also if you're going to visit a cemetery in the middle of either the day or the night. That's when you can pick out any unusual noises that are just not supposed to be there. In other words, capturing audio on your camera versus just an EVP. All right, private property, no trespassing. And contrary to what people think, when the gate is open, what they're saying is it's okay to come in. You're trespassing if you come up and that gate is closed. And then, you force your way in, you jump a fence or, oh God, then you're trespassing. But yeah, this is a small cemetery here in Central Florida, and I've seen quite a lot of them, to be honest with you. As a matter of fact, this is pretty small in comparison to some of the ones that I have seen. If I sound a little bit out of breath, it's like tramping up a sandy dirt road. Okay, let's see what we got here. I wonder what this is. Okay, this I guess is for the Mobley family. Infant Mobley. It's very sad. It's children. Pearl Mobley at rest. Yeah, see, here we have Washington Mobley. Passed away in 1969. So yeah, I guess this is where the Mobley family. Oh my God, yeah. John, Lawrence, James. So yeah, they, even though when you go to some cemeteries, some families will lay out like an actual family plot, I guess this family was able to bury their family members very close to each other without designating a family plot. Now, one of the things I've heard, and I don't know how much truth there is to it, which I will research because that's my thing. Despite being a paranormal investigator, I research, I verify, especially when it's urban myths. Sometimes it's purely urban myth, and sometimes, believe it or not, there is truth. There's more truth to it than people think, sometimes even if it's outlandish. But anyway, one of the stories attached to it is that the KKK, or that they had hangings, and, you know, in other words, in that perimeter area of those woods out there, that people have come out here and seen figures out there, etc., etc. You know, and I really would want to research, not that stuff like that was ever really published in newspapers, but you'd be surprised. Yeah, here's another Mobley. Look at that crow. What they will publish, you know, what we think of now is like, why would anybody, why would any newspaper back then? Yeah, they would make mention of things like that. So I'm going to research just how much truth there is to that. You know, to that story. Yeah, and see, we have here, over there, a burial, August 2016. So, even though this is a very small cemetery, which has, you know, old, I'm trying to find some of the older ones. I've seen some from the 80s, and okay. Like, see this one, 1991, buried. Pinky Roberts. Okay, anyway, that despite, I'm trying to look at, that's very unusual. Yeah, see that they put those vaults and basically those handles, which I guess is that's pretty interesting versus, you know, the upright gravestone that everybody looks at. Anyway, I want to research just to see how much truth is there to anything that was happening in the perimeter of this area, etc. Sometimes you find that, yeah, truth is stranger than fiction. When you find out, it's like, yeah, forget the urban myth. Look what I found out. Let's see. Okay, again, I'm mesmerized by trees with Spanish moss on it. What can I say? Let's see what we got over here. As you could tell, all this debris is just, you know, Hurricane Irma. It came out here and it wasn't quite as bad as like where I live at down in Miami-Dade County. But, yeah, it shook down a lot of debris. Yeah. And I'm looking at this and I really don't think it's an old cemetery so far. I have yet to find the so-called old burials. I'm only seeing stuff right now so far as burial to the 1970s. Okay. Oh, yeah, take it back. Here we found this one passed away in 1958. Okay. Maybe it's just I was looking in the wrong part of the cemetery. Yeah. And you could tell this is just surrounded by woods. I'm looking around and I don't even see any type of housing or anything. Husband Harvey. Okay. All right, so we've got the 1950s right now is the earliest burial date out here. Okay, and sometimes I think that some of these vaulted burial sites kind of give the impression that they're old when in reality they're not. One of the things, though, and I don't know if the reason that it's done is because it's less expensive, but I will tell you, based on what I've seen with all these cemeteries, especially these smaller rural cemeteries, that whenever you lay anything flat, any type of memorial, forget it. The weather basically erases it very, very quickly. Here's another Mobley over there. that family, it looks like they're still in the area, and it's a large family because they've buried all their family members here. See what I mean? Yeah. When any type of memorial or a plaque or inscription goes down. Yeah, see, we had another person here, 2014. Okay, as you could tell, the family's still coming to put memorials. And that's one of the ways, you know, when you get the older graves, you know, they're, I don't want to say they're forgotten, but sometimes they are. Or the people that would normally come out here, they, believe it or not, they move beyond their grief, which is a good thing. I hate to say it, it's a good thing. They move beyond their grief, and or they die themselves, or they pass away and go or move elsewhere, I guess. But yeah, but you could tell there's a lot of graves out here that are still, they're still being visited by family members who, you know, like that they take the trouble to plant, you know, either live trees or they have those silk flowers and, you know, and like that one. They've even put one of the, oh, I think that's nice. They've put those lights, you know, the solar lights that you could see at night. You know, and just in case, I'm going to give you a heads up. Any minute now, I'm going to get a phone call from Henry saying, are you okay? As a matter of fact, let me see. Hold on. I've got my two-way radio app that I got set up now during Hurricane Irma because we were so wigged out with what was going on with cellular service. So let's see. Been kidding, and I'm calling him Mold is for Molder. He's calling me Scully, but let's see. Hey, Moldy, everything okay? he's been driving me crazy with that stupid app, so it's about time I pay him back. I'm just beating him to the punch before he calls me.
Scully, be careful with the anal probe.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know what? I'm filming. Thank you. And by the way, that anal probe thing is that Scully and Fox thing, you know, X-Files. We're not weird that way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, let's get back to the cemetery run. Thank you for that real moment, Moldy. All right. Let's see. Oh my God. Again, you know, you see some of these and I don't think they're that old, and God, they are basically indecipherable. You can't tell anything. So let's get back to here and now. And the truth is, okay, see this is interesting. Here for the first time, we have somebody that passed away in the 1920s. So here we go. All right, here we have a couple. And they both died, one in 1920 and the other one in 1924. So within 4 years of each other. That right there, yeah. See, there we go. This is your first really older gravesite. Which leads me to believe, and I'm almost positive about this. Look at this one, yeah. Here, let's see. See, yeah. Died March 28th, 1923, age 50 year. Dearest love, dear, that hast thou left us in our loss, we deeply feel. But 'tis God has breath us, he can all our sorrow feel. Susie. Okay. This is 1923. Okay. And this is Marlene's theory. That for all the graves you see here, I bet you there's a lot of graves here that have long ago disappeared, especially like in this area where these older ones are, which over time either the stones got removed, broken up, whatever you like, and where they were not that big or sturdy to begin with, and they're just not there anymore. But I bet you, I see like 1926, like this one right here, that I bet you when they buried this person, this tree was not there. I can't tell what the burial date was, but that person was born in 1881. Okay, take a sip of Coke and wait for me. Yes. All right, let's see. So yeah, again, for all the more modern ones, I bet you there's... Okay, stop with the stop with the deliverance imitations. I'm filming. Okay. Let's see. Yep, I bet you there's a ton of graves here that are no longer marked. Let's see. Yeah. It's very, even though they're kind of squared in a way, and I imagine somebody has got the legend here for like the layout of who's actually buried here. Like over there, see, that's very nice. That's very, those graves are kept very clean. You can tell somebody's attending to those. This is a very kind of haphazard layout as far as when you actually see the burial sites. Let's see. You know what? Maybe I will pick something up on audio when I play back. It's not the first time that would happen to me. By the way, this is great though. Being at a cemetery like this by yourself is fantastic. The reason being, you can hear, see things. And even when you have a team with you, you get distracted and you don't pick up on. Okay, let's see. Again, you know, here you've got all these silk flowers and... Okay, I've seen this grave before, which supposedly belongs to a child. And you would assume that that's it, because let me see, hold on. And I really don't know if this is the child's grave. I've got a date of 2007, which might indicate the child's burial, as in, you know, no date of birth and no date of death. It's just that 1 year. So maybe that's who this grave is for, unless there's something else there. That's very possible that's who this child, this girl is for. All right, and I've got an 07 date, so yeah, I have a feeling that that's it, that that's who this is for. So we're talking here very young child, either first year of life or newborn, something along those lines. Okay. Yeah, burial's 2015. As you can tell, those are the more modern markers. Those are made of, I think it's granite. They're very well carved. As to my impressions, if I stand here a minute, in the shade, of course, you hear a lot of noises. Animal noises, insect noises. Also, you know, unusual feelings. No feelings of being watched. And you know what? I have been in situations very similar to this in the middle of a cemetery like this. And it's incredible how right before you either hear, see, or feel, or all together, like a stillness comes in right before it, that basically your senses feel it. In other words, you pick up, you know, subconsciously, that all of a sudden all the noises that you were hearing only a few seconds before have stopped. And then you have that experience. And so far I haven't had that. It's almost like if you're in a vacuum and they, you know, they pull the air out and all of a sudden all the noises that you were hearing just stop and you get this feeling. And sometimes it only lasts for a few seconds. But yeah, despite it being the middle of the day and hot and very little breeze. Yeah. Tell you what, it's very peaceful here. I'm not going to say that nothing goes on here. Of course, it's a cemetery. And you know what? You do have discarnates that they just followed their bodies here. They followed their burial and they just hang out here. And, you know, despite what people think, they don't go back home. They just hang out here. And sometimes you do get other spirits who hang out here just because other spirits do. And they're kind of lost. And then you get the ones that, believe it or not, those are the worst that you could find in a cemetery, which are the ones that people basically conjure because they come into cemetery grounds to do some type of ceremony. Some people know what they're doing and they do it on purpose. You know, they summon something. And then you get the other people who are just basically playing around with it. They really don't believe it. And they conjure stuff, and sometimes it goes with them. But other times they invoke or they open a doorway and it stays right where it's at, and which is cemeteries. Which, believe it or not, those that right there are the most dangerous entities that you can find in a cemetery. Okay. Are the ones that have been conjured or invoked or coming through a vortex or a doorway. And they wait for another unsuspecting person to come in. Like I said, sometimes they go, all right, see, some now I'm feeling something. Yeah, oh, yeah, something's going on right here, I'm telling you. And it's no coincidence. It is right here at the entrance. And you know what? When I walked in, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel anything when I walked in. But now that I'm walking out, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, this is a really, really weird feeling, really weird. I'm going to tell you, this is one of two things. Either somebody did something to put like, basically put something down here, not to allow spirits to leave. And somebody like basically either salted this down or there is some type of, and I, you know, I've seen this where you do have an entity who, for some reason, they kind of don't understand they're dead. They're self-aware, and they feel trapped within the grounds of the cemetery. And this threshold right here is where they cannot go beyond. Okay, and that's why you get that feeling. It could be several things as to what it could be. Let's see. Let's see if I feel anything else as I go up, back up this trail. That was really weird. Nothing. And just when I left at that exit, somebody did. You know what? I'm leaning more towards the theory that somebody put something down at that entrance. And it wasn't to not permit anybody to enter. It was put down not to permit anybody to leave. And I'm not talking the flesh and blood type either. So, yeah. Either somebody came, knew what they were doing, because yeah, they came, they visited, they did something, and they didn't want somebody to follow them home, or they came and they unleashed something. They did it on cemetery grounds because that's what it called for, but they wanted to wash their hands of it. And they knew the best and easiest way was just to put something where that spirit could not leave. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you, well, you guys can't notice, and I really don't know. I don't think that this picks up that well, but it's gotten really, really quiet. Really quiet. But the only thing I can hear right now is my footsteps on the sand. You remember I told you earlier? No birds, no insects. That was my phone. No, nothing. It's very unusual. I just heard a bird off. Okay. Oh, and by the way, yeah, there's something going on around here. I'll tell you that much right now. And I think I'm onto it. You would be surprised where people sometimes, if they can't get into actually cemetery grounds, they will dispose of ashes or, how can I tell you, spell work and ritual items, even sacrifices. They dispose of them in places like this, wooded areas like this. You know, not all cemeteries have this wooded, lined entrance like this one. As you can tell, people do come out here and just dump trash. But this is ideal for somebody that needs to dispose of dark magic ritual items or even stuff that they just don't want to have in their house or much less bury in their yards. So they come out here, and if they can't get into the actual cemetery, this is the next best thing. All right, guys, I'll be talking to you. And there's my car. Let's see what happens if later on we pick up anything on audio. I'll be talking to you guys. This is really interesting.
Hi, everybody. This is Marlene again. And I wanted to follow up on what I had said about doing a little bit of research as to what are the legends tied into Spring Hill Cemetery or African American Spring Hill Cemetery. And the reason that I wanted to differentiate was because as late as 1988, what's now known as Likes Cemetery or Likes Family Cemetery, which is right across the road, was still being named Spring Hill Cemetery. And all the obituaries for the burials of the people that were going into Like Cemetery. But anyway, and I don't know if you saw my little notes there during the slides, which was number one. Okay, the Likes family, they basically donated land back in 1890 for the cemeteries, and then in 1900, they donated almost 4 acres for the African-American families in that area to bury their dead, which is where I was at. Okay. And it's that's why both of these cemeteries are so close to each other. They're like right across the street from one another. And now, as far as finding any type of documentation as to some of the claims, I was only able to find a couple. By that, just because it's not that hasn't been documented, I know it doesn't mean that never happened. But anyway, one of the things that there's a lady by the name of Alice Walker who had has been the caretaker since like 1993. She's a very elderly lady. And on several interviews with different papers, she says that there's a large live oak in that cemetery, which is where a gentleman by the name of Reverend Abe Tillman was hung from one of these trees. I don't know which one specifically. I couldn't find any documentation as to that, and I'm not surprised, but that was one of the things I was actually able to verify as far as claims. And in 1988, there was a large 6-foot wooden cross that was burned right at the very entrance off the roadside, but on that entrance that goes down into the cemetery, which you saw me walk in and out of, that was a 6-foot cross. Okay, you know what that means. But anyway, one of the other things that I did want to tie into is I am going to be doing another show. Oh, also, before I forget, back in 2009, two teens were arrested for stealing skulls out of that cemetery. And they got arrested for that. Because I know that that cemetery has had a problem with vandalism and desecration, etc. But anyway, wanted to follow up on is, you can understand some of the slides that you're looking at right now is a tie-in between that cemetery, which is now known as Likes or Brooksville, and another show that I'm going to do for what's called the Dozier or Boot Hill Cemetery, that is tied into the Florida Industrial School for Boys up in like at Marianna, Florida. And let me give you a little bit of background, because I'm going to do it, like I said, a separate show on this. This cemetery, okay, is located in woods of what's called the present grounds of the Arthur G. Dozier School for Boys. And this was a state juvenile correction facility. And originally it was known as the Florida State Reform School, and it was established about 1900. And then later on, they renamed it to the Florida Industrial School for Boys. Now, this institution had a notorious reputation as an abusive place, especially in the earlier years, and it even had a torture chamber known as the White House. Okay, this was the place they sent you to for punishment or abuse, really, I guess, think is what it was. Now, the cemetery that's there was active from about 1914 to about 1952. And prior to 1917, there was no requirement to basically certify a death or to produce a death certificate. So not all the records are complete. And there's a big belief that there's a lot of burials in that cemetery up in Marianna that were never documented on the books, in other words. Now, a few years ago, there was a big investigation that they did. As a matter of fact, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement even got involved because they were saying that there was a lot more burials there than were actually documented. In other words, the state and school records show that out of nearly 100 children who died while at the school, there was no burial records for about 22 of them. And they even had archaeologists come in from the, I think it was FSU, I'm not sure, to come and do investigation, but I'll get into that when I do that other show. The tie-in is this. In 1923, there was a six-year-old boy, yes, a six-year-old boy by the name of George W. Chancy Jr., okay? He got sent over to this reform school, okay? You might ask yourself, how does a six-year-old end up in a reform school? Back then, unfortunately, sometimes they would just send kids who there was problems in the family, not because they had done anything wrong, or kids that were uncontrollable. Bottom line, his father was serving time in prison at that time. He was an inmate at the state reformatory. I don't know what happened to his mom. Bottom line, this little boy ends up in this Dozier school, this reform school, and he dies there, okay? In 1923. He was born in 1917 and died in 1923. And apparently, I believe he died from a sickness. Okay. Now, the tie-in to this is when I was doing research, because I was doing separate research for Find a Grave for the cemetery, because a lot of these kids, it was really hard to trace back who their family of origin was, who their moms, just where did they come from? And it turns out that this family, they lose this little boy, George, in 1923 in this reform school, okay? I guess shortly thereafter, the dad gets out of jail or prison, whatever. The family moves to Brooksville, okay? Now, they have another little boy, okay? And they name that little boy Clyde Chancy. Okay. Now, if you look at the slides, you're going to see I put on there copies of different newspaper cuttings from Brooksville, okay, talking about a missing youth that his body was found. Okay. which, believe it or not, in 1937, this is when Clyde was, he was found dead. Basically, from what I understand, they can't find him, okay? They finally find him in a thicket under a tree, and it looks like some of his vertebrae were broken. So it looks like, or it's inferred by the newspapers of that time, 1937, like he might have taken a fall and landed on his back and died. At that time, just, of course, there was no forensics that they brought to this. But anyway, I just wanted to sometimes, what are the chances? Here's this family, loses a six-year-old that's sent to a reform school, dies from malaria, okay? They go ahead and have another little boy, all right? And within maybe, 13 or 14 years, that second little boy, Clyde, at 11 years old, dies from a mysterious, I guess, fall from a tree and is found in a thicket. Really unusual. And I hope you guys follow this show, and also when I do put out the specific show, the video for the Dozier Reformatory School Cemetery, which is super, super interesting. Not because of just what went on there, because of so many things. And you'll see what I mean when you see the video. So I hope you guys like it. So hit the like button, subscribe to my channel, and I hope to be seeing you guys really soon.